ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Corbett Report Radio. Here we are on this Monday night edition of the broadcast, opening up another week of broadcasts here on Corbett Report Radio. Of course, I am your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. That's C-O-R-B-E-T-T report.com. So if you haven't yet done so, I would urge you to go check out the website and all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of media that is available there for free download for you to use as a resource in your quest of understanding what's really happening in the world. And I hope to be a humble part of that adventure that a lot of the people out there are on right now, seeking for truth and certainty in a world that has a lot of, lies and uncertainty, to put it bluntly. And once again, everything there is available freely for download. And on that note, I've had a number of emails and a few tweets, and there may be a homing pigeon or two on the way to get in touch with me about my conversation last week with Mark Gaffney about his new book, Black 9/11. Obviously, a lot of people interested in that subject and in that radio program in particular, but unfortunately, because of some sort of error or mix-up on the network side of things, that did not get archived in its entirety. All it is the first 20 minutes. So I have put that up on my website. It's also in the RBN archives, and it's there for download, the first 20 minutes at any rate. We're trying to see if we can get the full program. A lot of people have been speculating about NSA and other black alphabet soup agencies trying to get in the way, but I don't think it's quite anything of that sort. As much as I would like to glamorize what it is I'm doing, I think it's much more prosaic and mundane than that. But once again, we are working behind the scenes to see if we can get that full episode for you. And while I'm on the note of program notes, why don't we just take a moment? Once again, I mentioned it on my podcast, which went up earlier today at CorbettReport.com, about AIG and the background and history of that insurance institution. I mentioned that I'm soliciting people's help at Twitter.com/CorbettReport on my Corbett Report Twitter feed for people out there to retweet a tweet that I sent out earlier today asking Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins if he would be interested in an interview with the Corbett Report when he comes through Asia on his summer tour with his new album and with his band, of course, the Smashing Pumpkins. For anyone who didn't catch his interview with Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols a few years ago, or a couple of years ago now, I would suggest you go and check that out. A very interesting conversation talking about GMOs and chemtrails and the Illuminati and all sorts of interesting subjects like that. So it would be very interesting to see if Billy would be interested in opening up more on those subjects, and perhaps we can solicit him to get on the Corbett Report and talk more openly about that type of stuff, which could potentially lead to lots and lots of people hearing more about those issues that I think more people should be thinking about and listening to. So once again, if you're interested in that, please go to my Twitter feed and retweet that particular tweet, and hopefully we can raise some interest in that interview. But moving along to tonight's broadcast, we have our old friend John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com on with us tonight for an interesting conversation about psychiatry. So let's bring up John, who's waiting patiently in the wings. John, thanks so much for taking the time out to talk with us all tonight.
Great to be here with you, James, always.
Well, let me just start off first by saying thank you so much for sitting in for me during my time off earlier this month, last month. The time flies. Last month, you sat in for 3 weeks, and I was very, very grateful for that, including the fascinating conversation with Sean Stone, son of Oliver Stone. Just a very interesting interview. So once again, thank you so much for your time for that as well.
I enjoyed it very much. It was great sitting in.
Excellent. Well, unfortunately, we're right up against the break of this first segment. But once again, I hope people will follow along at home. Please go to nomorefakenews.com and check out the website there with all of John Rappaport's info. And while you're there, don't forget to click on that W in the left-hand side sidebar, which will take you to his WordPress blog, where he keeps a regular blog. Lots of very interesting entries there. I hope people will check that out. He also has a Twitter and a YouTube, so we'll be back to talk more about John Rappaport and his work right after these messages.
President Jimmy Carter.
Back to the program, friends. This is Corbett Report Radio, and I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Tonight, we're talking to John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. an excellent resource on a whole host of issues. And tonight we're going to get into a very specific, very interesting aspect of the work that he does there. But first, before we do that, John, let's talk a little bit about your YouTube channel and some of the videos that you've been creating lately, including some cartoons that you've been creating that have been striking a chord with people. Let's talk a little bit about that work.
Well, you know, I've wanted to do this for a long time, and I was looking for someone who could handle the technical end of it. And I was kind of disappointed when I spoke with people, because making them from scratch was, could be a long process. And then somebody told me about this site called Extra Normal, where there's a program already set out for you, and you can pick characters and voices, mechanical voices, and settings and camera angles, and you can have two people in dialogue. And I thought, wow. So my colleague, Theo Wesson, is much more computer savvy than I am, and so he stepped forward and said he would see what he could do with it, and lo and behold, he could do quite a lot with it. So we're doing political animated videos now at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/John Rappaport. We've done about 7 of them so far. We've got a couple of debates between Romney and Obama. These are, I guess, what you would call political comedy, but they cover a wide range, and we are introducing all sorts of conversations, you know, that one might like to see if the people who were talking were really being honest, like George Clooney talking to Obama, like Angelina Jolie talking to Madonna, NSA talking to Google. And it just, it's a whole other world. I'm thrilled with it. In the last week, I think we were over now 20,000 views on our cartoons, and they seem to be spreading out across the landscape. The idea here is that you can create, and I mean, listeners can do this too, because it's virtually a free program at Extra Normal. If there's a charge, it's minimal. And you take an issue, a topic, you come up with an idea, you embody it in a dialogue, and my choice is to go with this idea of, you know, what would happen if you got to the truth behind something, and people that ordinarily are just public relations types start saying what's really on their mind. And that's intriguing to me. So that's what we're doing, and it's meeting with a great deal of success so far.
Well, it's good to see that it is, and that this type of this type of cartoon is really striking a chord and potentially finding an audience that otherwise perhaps wouldn't be finding this. So once again, my hat's off to you for doing that, and we will direct people to youtube.com/John Rappaport for all of those videos. And again, I think it's great to see that. But tonight we wanted to talk about a specific subject, and when we were corresponding about tonight's show, you mentioned that you were interested in talking about the political, sociological, cultural, and medical effects of psychiatry on the population, which is a pretty tall order, but that's what this show is all about. But before we get into all of those different effects and how they really do affect the population, why don't we talk a little bit about the subject in general and what makes you interested in the subject of psychiatry?
My main interest comes from the fact that as an investigative reporter, for a long time now, I think 30 years, I've delved into many medical subjects to find fraud, crimes, conspiracies even. And so when I started thinking about psychiatry, the first thing that popped into my mind was, here are all these diagnoses being handed out to people. You've got this disorder and you've got that disorder. And, you know, this was maybe 20 years ago, and I thought, this whole thing sounds very weak to me. It sounds like something else is going on here. It sounds like the very existence of all of these mental disorders is itself a form of mind control, to make people think that there are, at latest count, somewhere around 297 separate mental disorders that, you know, are real. They're actual, if you listen to psychiatrists. And people are being diagnosed with them all the time, and what are the effects of just the labeling, the categorizing of behavior, of thought. And the more I considered this, the more it became apparent to me that unless there was really some very sound scientific basis for this, that the whole program itself was mind control, because people would now say, well, I have the following disorder. And someone else would say, well, you have that, but I have this. You have ADHD, but I have oppositional defiance disorder, or I have clinical depression, or all of these kinds of things which people kind of accept and they take for granted. But the effect on people is enormous just from the labeling, because now people begin to view themselves, their lives, their ambitions, and so on through the lens of having a, quote, mental disorder. And I thought, wow, this is in its own way ingenious. If this isn't really scientifically based, it's a way of cutting and chopping up human behavior and convincing millions and millions and millions of people that, you know, they have some specific disability that can only be handled by a, quote, mental health professional. So that's how the whole thing started.
Well, I would imagine that for a lot of the listeners out there, this will not be a totally foreign idea. And I think that the general message that there has been a precipitous rise in the prescription, the diagnoses of psychiatric disorders, and even the creation of new psychiatric disorders over the past couple of decades will not strike anyone as a off-the-wall idea. I think we can all relate to that and understand where that's coming from. But I imagine some people in the audience will see the correspondent rise in the prescription of prescription medications to handle these new psychiatric disorders and smell something of the profit motive behind all of this, that perhaps there's a big pharma hand behind this as a way of selling and marketing more drugs to people. Do you see that, or do you see this as part of a much bigger agenda?
Well, the agenda has levels to it. And so, yes, I agree with you. On one level, that's exactly what's happening. In fact, in 1975, roughly, the psychiatric profession was in danger of dying out, because you had the proliferation of all kinds of psychotherapy, talk therapy, and I mean, it just, you could name all sorts of things, psychodrama, gestalt, a transactional psychology. People were interested in the sort of new age type developments that had nothing to do with psychiatry per se. And so psychiatry was left hanging out on a limb. The practitioners, the journals, the conferences, it was threatening to all go down the drain. And as has been documented by Dr. Peter Bregan, who is himself a psychiatrist and has been called, rightly so, the conscience of psychiatry, in his landmark book, Toxic Psychiatry, a deal was actually struck overtly between pharmaceutical companies and the American Psychiatric Association. And the pharmaceutical companies basically said, we will bankroll the profession. We'll support the journals with advertisements. We'll sponsor the conferences. We'll, you know, do everything in our power, which is considerable, to rejuvenate psychiatry. But on the other side of this, what we want from you is that you now completely move away from talk therapy into a biological chemical concept of what psychiatry is all about. In other words, you produce the, quote, science that proves that all of these disorders come from imbalances in the brain, chemical and biological. And then we will come in behind that with the drugs, and we will sell the drugs. And they struck that deal, and that's history. That's what happened since then. And the profession experienced a renaissance and a rejuvenation in terms of power, money, influence, and so on. And so you're absolutely right on that level. On the larger level, there is definitely a program here, an idea of controlling populations. But I have to say before I get to that, because I don't want to miss this, that in fact, there is no scientific basis for the diagnosis of any, I underline, of the 297 mental disorders. Whether you're talking about something as traditional as schizophrenia to something as relatively new as ADHD or oppositional defiance disorder. In fact, I have blown the whistle on that in articles over the last 3 months because I have statements from, for example, Dr. Alan Francis, who put together the current edition of what's called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM, which is the Bible of psychiatry that lists all of these disorders and defines them. And he gave an interview in 1990, which went unnoticed or was repressed by mainstream media, in which he said, there is no way to precisely define a mental disorder. And no less a news outlet than PBS, which ran a frontline program called Does ADHD Exist? We have an even stronger statement from Dr. Russell Barkley, who's a professor of psychiatry and neurology at the UMass Medical Center, which, as I hear the music coming in now, I will relate to you after the break, that proves my point here.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Certainly some provocative ideas right here. So let's take a short breather, and we'll be right back. Once again, John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com, joining us tonight for a discussion about psychiatry. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program, friends. James Corbett here from CorbettReport.com. You're listening to Corbett Report Radio here on Republic Broadcasting. And tonight we are talking to John Rappaport of No More Fake News about, well, about psychiatry and about the ways that it is used as a form of mind control over the population at large. And just as a real-time update here, it looks like we have managed to find the full file from last Tuesday night's interview with Mark Gaffney, so I will be putting that up after the program tonight, so you can expect that later on. But let's get back to the conversation with John. And John, I believe you were mentioning, if I remember correctly, Dr. Russell Barkley and his surprise announcement about the nature of psychiatric disorders. Let's continue with that.
Yes. He was interviewed on a PBS Frontline program called Does ADHD Exist? And so he was asked whether or not there was any test, really diagnostic test, you know, blood test, any kind of test, any physical, organic, chemical, biological test. And he said, no. He said, but that doesn't mean that we have a problem, because if that were a problem, he said, you have to understand that none of the mental disorders that exist in psychiatric literature have any laboratory test to confirm them. He didn't consider this a scientific or medical problem, you know. But, I mean, it's widespread among other medical doctors that are not psychiatrists. I mean, they consider psychiatry a completely bogus, you know, field of endeavor on that basis. And so, you know, Barkley was a professor of psychiatry and neurology at the University of Massachusetts Medical Center, an authority, and this was his statement. And other psychiatrists have echoed it. So what we're looking at here is a whole field of so-called medical endeavor that absolutely has no basis in science. Now, people do suffer. They have problems. They have pain. They have all sorts of things. Problems, absolutely. This is not to, you know, just paint a rosy picture here. But the way human behavior and thought is chopped up by psychiatry into all of these disorders has absolutely no scientific basis. Now, before the break, you asked me if there was some larger program operating here, and I would have to say yes, absolutely, because in addition to the profits of the pharmaceutical companies in making the drugs that are used to treat every one of these 297 mental disorders and growing, these drugs are toxic. They're all toxic. They all have toxic adverse effects. And that can stem from an amphetamine-like crash or depression or even paranoid psychotic reactions that can occur from Ritalin with prescribed for ADHD, all the way down to motor brain damage in the so-called antipsychotic drugs like Haldol, Thorazine, Stelazine, and so on. So what you've got here is a chemical warfare against the populace, essentially. And also what you've got culturally and sociologically and politically is an effort to convince the population that it's quite okay to be diagnosed with a mental disorder. It's just fine. There's no stigma attached. A tremendous PR and propaganda campaign has been going on for the last 20 years, headed by people like Hillary Clinton, to convince the world that this is just like having, you know, diabetes or something like that, to have a mental disorder, and there's no shame attached, and there's no stigma, etc. Just go along with your psychiatrist, take your drugs, and everything's going to be okay. Well, what I've documented over and over again in various aspects of the medical cartel for the last 15, 20 years is the idea that they want to disable and debilitate populations with drugs, and also debilitate their thinking in the case of psychiatry by making people's self-image, if you will, that of a somehow disabled person who absolutely needs pharmaceutical help and can't function otherwise, when this is not necessarily the case whatsoever. So there's a picture.
An interesting picture it is, and it brings to my mind, for example, the Rosenhan experiment, which was conducted back in 1973, and people can read about it. It was published in the journal Science, and it had the title On Being Sane in Insane Places, and it involved a number of psychiatric students, I believe, who were actually self-committed, and they were complaining that they had some minor psychological problems, which they had just made up, and they ended up being institutionalized and then unable to leave, even after trying to convince the psychiatrists that were looking after them that they had, in fact, no problems, that they had lied their way in. And it brought to really the forefront, I think, a lot of the worries that people have about this profession and the fact that there is no scientific basis for these types of calculations. So a lot to think about, and of course, since people can be physically confined against their will and subjected to medical treatments against their will, etc., on the basis of these types of diagnoses, I think we have to really stand back and think about who is wielding this power and how this power is being wielded in our society, whether it deserves to exist at all. So I guess we'll have to turn to the idea of what mental health really is and how people can actually achieve it, but let's leave that till after this break. Once again, if you'd like to get in on tonight's conversation, 1-800-313-9443. We'll take your calls on air, and other than that, please sit back and relax, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the broadcast, friends. And tonight we are talking to John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com, talking about psychiatry and how it can be used as a weapon of control and really manipulation. And of course, as with so many other things that may or may not be done for the best of intentions, they certainly can be used as a stick to marginalize large segments of the society so that, for example, all they have to do is say that, no, you're not suspicious about what happened on 9/11 because you have actual, real problems about the lies you've been told about that day. No, it's oppositional defiance disorder or whatever other disorder they want to pull out of the hat to try to marginalize people. I think that's something that a lot of the listeners out there can understand on that level. But John, let's talk about the role of the individual psychiatrists in all of this, because it strikes me that certainly not all of them are really consciously trying to manipulate or wield their powers for evil. Obviously, a lot of people have simply bought into the system and have become proponents of that system. What can you say about the psychology or the mindset of the individual psychiatrists who are involved in this system?
He's indoctrinated. He's gone through college studying science. He's gone through medical school, has to do that. He's gone through an internship and a residency in psychiatry. He's examined patients on rounds with a psychiatrist in a hospital. He's had practice looking at how drugs are prescribed. He's had probably some contact, if only secondary, with representatives of drug companies. He's read large sections of this Bible, the DSM. By the time he even begins his practice, he's indoctrinated. Now, he would never admit that, or she would never admit that. No, no, this is science, you see. But I've spoken with psychiatrists, and when you begin to, burrow in on them and say, well, of course you realize that none of these disorders, 297 of them, have any diagnostic tests at all. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that. Well, show me the test. Then they can't show you the test. They don't want to, or they say it's irrelevant. You say, so they're not real. Oh, of course they're real. Of course they're real. We're gaining new knowledge all the time. In other words, they have stories, fairy tales, and myths built up in their mind about how all of this works, just like medical doctors do when they diagnose somebody with a illness that could be cured nutritionally, but they would never admit that, and instead they give you drugs that suppress the symptoms, but don't really ever get down to the core of what's happening, and then those drugs produce horrible adverse reactions, just like psychiatric drugs can do. And so, essentially, you just have, high IQ and being brainwashed are not mutually exclusive. And people have to realize this. They say, well, the man is so intelligent. I mean, he's a doctor, and he's been through all of this. And if there was anything wrong with psychiatry, he certainly would know it, and he would do what? Sacrifice his whole training? Sacrifice his income? Speak out against his own profession and be blackballed? Not be able to afford his house payments and send his kids to college? Is he really going to do that? 99% more of the doctors who are psychiatrists would never do that. So they have to invent stories to justify and explain and rationalize their existence. It's not complicated. They're not consciously participating in a conspiracy, but neither are millions of government bureaucrats who are working for large governments that are being more and more drawn together in a global management system. They're just going along and getting along and doing their jobs. And it happens that psychiatrists are very well, quote, respected, and if they have a good practice, they make a lot of money. But so what?
Hmm. Well, very interesting, and I see you do broach on the subject of the alternatives to the current psychiatric pharmaceutical order, but before we get into that, we do have a caller on the line, so let's go to the calls. We have Bill in Idaho, so Bill, thank you for the call tonight.
Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate your excellence in broadcasting. It's so topically informational, if not illustrative. I'd point out CD... What is that, 246-2432? It's a master call table for City of Coeur d'Alene Police. I made the mistake of mentioning Agenda 21 outcome. They used everything from education right on through the implementation of the New World Order's Grand Soviet right here in this community.
We were discussing some of that communitarianism and the Agenda 21 last week on the program, but tonight we're discussing psychology and the psychiatric order. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the psychopathy and the psychopathy of what's going on here, they would use both their medical, dirty health centers as well as one of the church agencies to make sure that I wouldn't make that same mistake again. Because after 8 years of, rather slow but still considered progress after a cancer, all of a sudden, approximately 15 days after I made this very brief presentation in front of the city council and pointed out the parallels of LCDC, Lake City Development, and large bonding gentrification theft of private property and the grand communitarian effect that it was having in this area, all of a sudden I had to go and make sure I was going to be okay and that I would not be delusional any further. Of course, I didn't go, but it took two cops to abuse me, or one cop to abuse me and physically assault me, and yet not an attorney in this area has the testicles to speak up or speak out. It took a
And if this is what we were talking about, James. You were mentioning how psychiatry can be used to discredit people. You know, somebody speaks up, says something independent, points out a hidden truth behind the scenes, and all of a sudden, oh, this person must be delusional, so he needs professional help. And even if that professional help, you know, in the form of toxic pharmaceuticals is not given ultimately, still the person's reputation is stained, and people tend not to want to listen anymore because they say, oh, just as we thought, this person, you know, has a psychological problem, a psychiatric disorder, and so we don't have to listen to anything this person says. That's how it works.
Unfortunately so, and I think you're exactly right in that, and we've seen that happen, actually, time and again, and sometimes, for example, I interviewed someone on the Corbett Report a few years ago now who was actually... her doctor was questioning her sanity because she was attempting to bring, for example, 9/11 truth information to his attention. And so there was the threat and the specter of institutionalization. And I believe she was put in for psychiatric assessment for daring to bring it up. So this is not something that's theoretical. And of course we can look at the historical analogs, for example, how the Soviet Union used psychiatry to really marginalize people and to literally put them in gulags and work camps and put them away, lock them up as dissenters, and they must be crazy. So again, this is not some theoretical idea. But Bill, thank you so much for your thoughts. So we have a couple more callers on the line. Let's get to Werner in New Brunswick. Werner, thanks for joining us tonight.
Good evening, James. I personally made in 1975 and 1976 that kind of an experience. And at the time, a clique, they were killing my cattle, and then a massive cover-up by the Mounties. And upon false accusations, I was being put twice into call it loony bin. And while I was there, we were listening to the radio, and at the time, the CBC was talking about that in the Soviet Union, it had become a kind of passé to put dissidents anymore into gulags. So they took another route, and they put them in psychiatric institutions, and they would drug them up. And one fella who came out of one of those institutions, he said the ones there in the institution, they told him they would basically break his spirit and drug him so up and destroy his mind so much that in the end he would eat his own faces and thank them on their knee, on his knees. And I was listening to on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and I thought, you hypocrites. They were doing the same thing here in Canada to sweep people that were exposing organized crime, and so that were exposing it in order to get them to shut up. They were putting them upon false accusations into mental institutions and drugging them up.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of our media, isn't it? They'll take great pains to expose the atrocities committed by others in the past, but never look at what's happening in their own backyard in the present. But, John, your thoughts on that?
Well, yes. I mean, just more confirmation of what we are saying. And in this man's story, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, which I believe is at the core of this whole movement. It's an attack on the individual. It's an attack on the sanctity of the individual and the freedom and the integrity of the individual, because in order for globalism to succeed, in order for there to be what some people would call New World Order or globalism, or as I tend to call it, a global management system in which a very few people have power over the whole planet and there are no more individual nations, et cetera, which is the direction that we are heading in, the individual has to be eradicated. The idea of the individual, the free individual, has to be eradicated. Or that the free individual has a sanctity of free choice. All of that has to be destroyed and eradicated. Gradually, but ultimately destroyed. And here, what we're describing, what I'm talking about here in the last hour, is an overall method for doing exactly that. Because you now begin to look at individuals as bundles of reactions and responses. And, of course, this goes all the way back to the psychologist Wundt and Pavlov and others. But it's been dressed up now, made much more sophisticated, softer, gentler looking, more friendly. We care, great concern, etc. We're worried about you. You need to see a professional. You need to take this drug. It's horrific when you follow down these stories as the story of your last two callers. Peter Bragan, in his book Toxic Psychiatry, talks about a student, a sophomore at college, whom he names with a pseudonym, Roberta, had some problems getting used to the idea of dating boys because she didn't come from a background where that was just, you know, something that everybody did. And she went to the psychologist's office on campus, and one thing led to another, and eventually she was diagnosed with this or that. And after several years, the outcome was she was put on the heaviest of the antipsychotic drugs, like Thorazine, Haldol, and so forth, and she was no longer able to function as a human being. She would bang her head against cabinets. She couldn't complete a sentence. She couldn't speak. And you could follow the trail of these escalating diagnoses all the way along the line. This is what happens to people when they are in the system. And it is an attack on the sanctity of the individual.
Unfortunately so, and it has real human effects, as we see in all too many stories. So, Werner, thank you for sharing your story, and let's move along to Lee in Wyoming. Lee, thanks for the call. What's on your mind tonight?
James and John, are you there?
Yes, we are. Thank you for calling.
Oh, great. You know, this is really disturbing to me. It seems like that they warp education, they warp medicine like this, they warp our banking system, and part of this, I'm sure, is they're trying to build these false economies so they can also drain our wealth. But what just gets me is it seems like they could drain our wealth with real technologies that could really help us. You know, they could build economies that way. But they just want to warp everything that they touch. Is that what you see, John, in all of these different various faucets of the world that they have their fingers in, that they're just gonna destroy us, even when serving us could make them just as wealthy?
Yes, that is to me the program. And you know, the more that one talks about this side of things, the dark side, the negative side, the more it seems as if there is no escape, which I don't agree with, because I think there are things that if people rise high enough in their understanding of what's going on, the control operation that they are trying to do us in with, globalism essentially is the catchword for it, takes a tremendous amount of work and pressure on their part over a sustained amount of time, which tells you that there is tremendous resistance in the individual human being. And therefore, it's not a cakewalk for them to win. The more drastic their measures become, the more they expose themselves and the more people are aware of what's going on. And as you were talking there, there's one thing that I really think is very important to say, and that is the educated classes, the people who have college degrees, advanced degrees, technical backgrounds of one kind or another tend to think that anything technical must be true. And so when they hear a presentation like this about psychiatry, they brush it off as impossible or that, you know, just this is an attempt to mislead us, because since the area of psychiatry is so technical, and since we're talking about brain chemicals and so forth and neurotransmitters, it must all be true. And this is one of the great hijacks of educated classes that's going on in the world today. People have to understand that there is afoot in the world a tremendous amount of false technology that is really based on no science whatsoever, and therefore has another agenda completely. And that the agenda in this case, subject of psychiatry, is mind control on several levels and being able to categorize people, put them on toxic, debilitating drugs, put them into a system, a medical system from cradle to grave. You know, in, I think it's Australia now, they're starting to screen 3-year-old kids for clinical depression, which is a technical term in psychiatry, which means drugs, devastating drugs. 3-year-olds, think about that.
It just keeps getting more and more off the scale, and I think you're exactly right to talk about the hijacking of the professional class, and we can think in all manner of different things, like NIST coming out and saying WTC-7 fell because of one column, one failure in one column, and it fell into its own footprint at free fall gravitational speed. Just other ways that they get people to buy into the myths. But on that note, let's take a short break, and we'll be back to finish up right after this. Here we are in the final minutes of tonight's broadcast. Once again, you're tuned into Corbett Report Radio, and tonight we've been talking to John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com, and I hope you'll go there to explore the breadth and depth of the subjects that are covered, not only there, but on John Rappaport's blog and his YouTube channel as well. Lots of subjects and lots of very interesting insights. And tonight we've been talking about psychiatry and the psychiatric order as it exists today as a weapon of manipulation and mind control over problematic sectors of society. But John, I don't want to leave this episode on a such a negative note, and you did note briefly before that there are alternatives to this psychiatric paradigm that we're living under, where pharmaceuticals are basically the only solution. Well, let's talk just briefly at the end here about that that alternative that people can turn to.
Well, I would say that nutritional research has shown that much of what has been diagnosed as mental disorder can be approached from a nutritional perspective, especially if the research is explored deeply enough. In other words, if people really begin to get into what's possible to do to handle nutrition. Because people normally will go to a psychiatrist's office because they feel out of sorts in some way. They don't feel together. They feel they have problems, physical problems many times, that don't seem to be alleviated through normal medical channels. And I have seen many examples of people who began to approach their emotions and their thoughts nutritionally have some magnificent results over time. Because really what's happening with many of these individuals is deeply buried chronic nutritional deficiencies. And this is certainly an avenue, natural health, that has so many different branches that people can explore if they begin to take responsibility for it and begin to get information, which is monumentally available all over the place. So I would say that for sure is a road to travel that has a great deal of hope in it and results. And the other thing I would stress is we haven't yet reached the point where in the overwhelming majority of situations a citizen is compelled to take a medical drug. There are, as we've discussed here, situations where this does happen to people, but overall, we have not reached that point yet. And there is would be a great resistance in countries around the world to any kind of edict that that just came down from above, you know, as a peremptory statement, you've got to take this and you've got to do that over a wide spectrum. I mean, there are vaccines are problematical at the moment. There are still ways out. And medical drugs, there are definitely ways out. And psychiatric drugs, there are ways out, too. We basically still have this freedom, and we have to fight for it. Against any incursion that would say to an individual, legally speaking, you must now take a certain pharmaceutical drug.
Well, you're so right in that.
If we can retain that
freedom. You're exactly right in that, and you use an important word, taking responsibility for our actions, because once again, it does come down to personal responsibility. And unfortunately, the current order does play into people's needs for just someone to come along with a magic pill and make everything better. But of course, this, like everything else, involves patience and research and exploration. So for people who are interested in that, are there any resources you could direct them to here in the final seconds?
Well, let's see. Abraham Hoffer. I think you can Google him. H-O-F-F-E-R. Did a whole series of studies and presented clinical evidence about vitamin and mineral therapy, how he used it to overcome what...
All right. I'm afraid we're fresh out of time, but I hope people will check into that Abraham Hoffer. So, John Rappaport, thank you for your time.
Thank you, James. Always great to be here.
Talk to you all tomorrow night.